Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 27 to 31. If you realize, I think we have been on the third one, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, and it is peace. And today we will be looking at the word peace and to see what is, you know, what is peace and how you and I can experience peace in this world. And the passage that we just read today, it's just a reminder, because it says Jesus is looking at the disciples. Just to give you a background, what's happening, you know, if you read John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to them saying, you know, friends, I'm going to leave you. Can you imagine? You know, he has been spending some time with them, and then he comes and says, you know, I'm going to leave you, right? Do not be troubled. And so why? Because they were troubled, they were shocked, they were surprised. You know, this Jesus is with us, and we thought he is going to be with us, right? He is going to overthrow the Roman Empire, the Roman rule, and we will be in authority, we will be in power. That was their desire, that was what they were thinking. And Jesus comes and says, you know, my friends, I'm just leaving. And so they were surprised, they did not know what to do. And the entire chapter of 14 talks to us, you know, they were worried, they were upset, you know, they were just shocked, they didn't know what to do, right? And so Jesus in verse 27 says, peace I give to you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Because the world's peace is different, right? When you look at the world's peace, it is more like there's no problem, there's a lot of financial security in our life, right? In other words, everything is going on the way that I want. That's the world's peace. That's the way the world defines peace. I want certain things and I get it and I'm peaceful and I have financial security. Everything is smooth sailing. I think that's the way the world defines peace. But when you look at the life of Christ, it's totally different. You know, when I was looking at this article by this great man, you know, he's saying that Christ's life outwardly was one of the most troubled lives. Can you imagine? Jesus was just going around preaching and he was not received well. Even the people of his own town was not welcoming. You know, they said, do not come near us. We don't want to see you, Jesus. The Pharisees were after him. The Sadducees were after him. The scribes, the teachers of the law were totally against Christ. They were trying not only to reject him, right, but also to put him on the cross. So Jesus' life, when you look at it, you know, his life outwardly, he was just facing opposition by opposition. Can you imagine? There was a time, I think one of the passages in the scripture says that he was not able to go to the town. So Jesus was always walking by the seashore and teaching the disciples. Right? His popularity became a difficulty for Jesus. But then, you know, even though he was going through all these things, if you realize, his inner life was a sea of glass. In other words, there was always peace in the life of Christ. He was at peace, and he was able to teach, right? And when you look at the teachings of Christ, it was full of love. The Word of God says, I believe many of you are reading Matthew, you know, this word appears quite frequently, the word compassion. He was moved with compassion, right? Even though he knew that it was not well received by the crowd, but Jesus was always moved with compassion. So when I look at the world, when I look at a Christian's peace, it's though we might have troubles. I'm not saying that, you know, we will be just smiling at all our troubles. We will face persecution. We will have troubles in different forms, in different ways, right? There will be moments that we will be in tears. There will be moments where we will be shaken. At the same note, I think we will be having full of confidence, and we know that God is in control. It's not just trying to be indifferent to the situations that surround us, right? We might be afraid, we might be, you know, torn apart, but at the same note, but we know that God is in control. And so Jesus is talking to them about the peace that only Christ can give us. When you look at this particular passage, you know, when you become a Christian, what's happening? You know, when the presence of God is in your life, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, right? So when I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God comes into my life. But then, I need to choose whether I want to listen to the voice of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit wants to give me the peace, right? So it's a choice for me, whether do I want to submit or to be found obedient. So when I'm obedient to God's word, what's happening? I'm allowing the Spirit of God to take control of my life. And so what happens, even in difficult times or even in challenging moments of my life, I still have the peace because I've allowed the Spirit of God, right, to take control of my life. So it's a choice. So when Jesus is talking to the disciples, he's talking to them about choice. You know, I've given you my peace, but it's up to you whether you want to experience that peace. Because when I came into your life, when the Spirit of God is in your life, it's up to you whether you want to experience the peace in your life. It's a choice. And it's a choice. And that's the way Jesus is speaking to us. So when we have this fruit of the Spirit, yes, we have the Spirit of God in us, but whether we want to bear the particular fruit, it's based on our choice. And three things which I would share with you from this particular passage. If you look at verse 28, you know, Jesus is teaching them, right? For example, he's saying, peace is found in love. Peace is found in love. If you read verse 28, he says, you have heard me say, I'm going away. I'm coming back for you. If you love me, you would be glad. You know, can you imagine why is Jesus talking these words? You know, when Jesus told them, they were really sad, they were worried. And so Jesus says, if you love me, you'll be glad. So for a moment when I was studying this particular passage, I was asking myself, does it mean the disciples did not love Jesus? Can you imagine? Is it a right statement by Christ? Because they left everything. They left their homes, right? They left their loved ones, even their friends, whatnot, and they just left everything. Because the word says they left everything and they followed Christ. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will be glad. Is it a wrong statement or a right statement? You know, when I look at the word very carefully, you know, I think there is a lot of truth inside this particular statement. It means, yes, they love Christ, but it was not fully. They love Christ, but there was always a reason for loving Christ. In other words, there is a deficiency in their love for Christ. It is not 100%, right? But there was some kind of need. In other words, you know, something needs to be fulfilled. When I look at this particular passage very carefully, you know, why were they upset? You know, they wanted Christ to be with them. Jesus said, you know, if I leave you, right, you know, I'm going to the Father, and something wonderful is going to happen. I'm going to send the helper, the comforter, the paraclete to come to be upon you. But their love was there for Christ, but it was not total love. You know, many times in our Christian life, we love Christ, but do we truly love him? Is it 70%, 80%, or is it 40%? Probably these disciples were just having love only 40 or 50% in their love. Because why? When I look at this word very carefully, you know, one of the reasons for them, you know, in terms, you know, they were not rejoicing. You know why? Because their love for Christ is limited. Because if they know why Christ came, the reason for his coming, they would have said, Lord, please, we send you with our blessings. Go. Right? They wanted Christ because they were self-centered. They wanted Christ to be with him, with them. They were thinking for their goodness. It's not about your goodness, O God. It's not about you going into heaven. We want you to be with us. It's about self. It's about me. It's about I. They were looking at their needs, their things that they need to experience in their life. And that is the reason. When you look at the word, they were worried. You know, they were upset. You know, and Jesus says, please do not be worried, because they were thinking of themselves too. So when I was looking at this particular word, sometimes I realized, you know, as Christians, we love God, but many a times, you know, we love God, there is a reason, right? There is a reason because, Lord, I love you, right? If I love you You know, these are the things, and these are the reasons, because not only you've done good things in my life, these are the things that I expect in my life to happen. Many times our love for Christ is very self-centered, and these disciples were self-centered. They loved Christ, but it was not full love. Love that was just sacrificing. Love that was just totally surrendering or giving themselves. You know, it's about me. It's about my need. It's about what I want. And so I think it's important for us even today to ask ourselves, right? Because for them, it is about them. It is not about Christ. It's about not Jesus going to heaven. It's about Christ staying with them, fulfilling every need, right? And being there for them every moment of their journey. It's about me. It's not about God's will. It's about my agenda, my desire. It's about my will. And so when I was working on this particular text, you know, some things were just coming out in terms of application, you know. Am I in the center of Christ? Right? Why many Christians are unable to experience, you know, the peace of God in their life? Because, you know, yes, we accept Jesus Christ. We start loving God. But slowly what happens? You know, unfortunately, you know, Christ becomes the center of our life. And slowly, you know, what happens? We become the center. We want Christ to be our provider. We want Christ to take care of our needs. It's about us. It's about our needs. It's about my agenda. It's about what my plans. Lord, you fulfill this. You do this in my life. It's not, Lord, but what's your will of God? It's not about Jesus becoming the center. It's about my agenda, my desires becoming the center. And that's why they were worried, because they became the agenda, they became the center, and that's why they were worried. If they saw Christ as the center, they would have said, Lord, please, go, right, and your peace will be upon us. And secondly, I think, am I afraid of the will of God? You know, the will of God was Jesus needs to live, right? But many times, I know, we want, right, God to fulfill our will, not His will, right? And so this was the struggle of the disciples. So if you want to have peace, peace is found in love. Why? It's not about loving ourselves, it's loving God, Christ becoming the center of our lives. So as Christians today, how much is our love for Christ today? Are we like the disciples when Jesus says, I'm going to put you in a challenging place, right? Will you still love me? Or do you say, Lord, I want to be in a place where it's comfortable, you know, I feel good, I feel nice, I'm well received, you know, I want to be joyful, right? But Lord, the Lord says, no, I want to put you in a place which is much more challenging, because that's my will. That's my will. Many a times when we fall into the will of God, we experience God's peace. But when we try to fulfill our desires, then let me tell you, you know, it drops the peace of God away from us. Secondly, what was happening in the lives of the disciples, if you realize, you know, Jesus is talking to them about faith. Peace is found in faith. In verse 29, he says, I've told you now before it happens, so that when it comes, when it does happen, you will believe. You know, when I look at this particular word, you know, I was asking myself, you know, Jesus is saying, you know, guys, I've told you, you know, I've told you, I'm telling you again, because it's going to happen. You know, for a moment I was trying to put myself in the shoes of Jesus, maybe, and I was thinking, probably I would say, no, I think I give up, right? I've taught you for so many years, right? You have seen all these things. I've told you so many parables, you know. I taught you about, you know, the kingdom of God, what is to happen and all that. You guys still don't understand. Jesus could have easily given up on these disciples, right? He could have said, you know, I'm really frustrated. I've been teaching you again and again. You have seen so many times, but, you know, I'm really frustrated. You know, Jesus did not do that. When you look at this word very carefully, you know, I see Jesus is not giving up on them, But Jesus is still building their faith. Maybe they might not realize now, but someday these disciples will realize when events unfold, when they see the suffering of Christ, they will realize. When they see the resurrection, they realize Jesus said, you know, I will destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Maybe they will not realize now the teachings of Christ, whatever you have told them. But as time goes on, as events unfold, they will begin to realize, yes, what he said is true, and I will start believing. And I think Jesus is investing in their lives. Jesus does not give up on them. Jesus is patiently, even at the 11th hour, is patiently talking to them and encouraging them. And the more I see, you know, he's investing in their lives. Right? Because he knows someday, one day, when things unfolds, you know, they will be much more stronger. They will be much more firmer. Right? He builds their faith. You know, as a pastor, I've pastored, you know, back in Singapore, quite a number of churches. You know, sometimes when you teach people, you know, sometimes you realize, you know, maybe, you know, sometimes you might think, you know, is it a waste of time? But, you know, but I always tell myself, it's always worth, because what's happening, you know, maybe not at that point of time, maybe, you know, they're not there. Maybe things are not happening the way that, you know, that was, you know, what was thought. But someday, these verses will become alive to them. When some of the four kids were telling me that they were reading or even memorizing verses, I was telling them I was really comforted. Maybe now they might not even understand, right? Maybe they do understand. But when, you know, as they grow up, when they face different challenges in their life, the words of God becomes real. It becomes a source of encouragement, a source of strength in their life. And so Jesus is investing in their lives, right? He did not give up on them. He's just investing. He's investing, right, into their lives. Because he knew one day they will know it is God's word. It's worth. And so sometimes, you know, in our faith, you know, when I know some of you are involved in ministry in terms of teaching and encouraging, don't give up. I always tell Sunday school teachers back in Singapore, right? Teachers who teach kids. I tell them, don't take lightly, right? Don't do just a shallow kind of a job, because one of your kids might be your pastor, might be your pastor, might be your elder, might be a missionary, might be even be your bishop. They might be little ones, right? It's investing in their lives. It's teaching them with the heart, with soul and mind. It might not make sense at this age, but God's word is always alive. It works in their life. And it will work in their life, for sure. And so Jesus is teaching them about faith, because he knows when they someday when they embrace the word of God and they know it's real, you know, they will have peace. And so today, questions is, how do you see God's word or instructions today? Do you see it is real? Can you trust God's word? Because let me tell you, if you trust God's word, it brings peace into your life. If you don't, then it's a bit difficult, right? They did not trust the word of Christ. The disciples did not trust, and that's why they were worried. But after Jesus rose from the dead, if you realize, they began to trust the word of God. So even in the midst of persecution, they were able to smile. Right? They were able to live a life for Christ, even though things were totally against them. Because they had faith in his word. His word is true. Do you trust his word, my friend? Because the more you trust God's word, the more you have peace. The more you don't trust God's word. If it's just a book, then it's difficult for us to experience peace. Lastly, let me finish with this. Peace is found in obedience in verse 30, right? He says, I will not say much to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me. And so what's happening here? Jesus is talking about the prince of this world, the satanic forces, or the works of Satan. And so Jesus is instructing them. He says, you know, you need to be aware of the activity of this satanic activity. Satan is always there. He's always active, the prince of the world, because of God's sovereign power. I think Satan has been allowed to be present in this world. And so what is happening? He's telling them, you know, you need to be aware. The prince of this world is coming, right? He's there. He's always coming against you. You know, sometimes let me tell you, don't blame the circumstances. It might be because that's the work of the devil. He's always there. And Paul mentions this, right? He says, we are fighting against principalities and powers of this world. Right? And so Jesus is warning them, is informing them, you know, be careful because the prince of this. And he got no hold on me. Why? Because my life was sinless. I live a life in obedience to God. Satan had no hold on me because I obeyed God, period. And so, because I obeyed God, I had peace, and God gave me the peace. Satan is always trying to take you away from obeying God or giving yourself totally to God. And so Jesus instructs them by saying, you know, be aware. And secondly, he says, and be aware of the inability of satanic forces, right? Provided if you love the Father and do exactly what the Father has commanded, then he got no hold on you, my friend. If you love the Father as Jesus loved the Father, if we love the Father and obey what he tells us, then he got no hold on us. We got nothing to fear. We can be at peace because we know Jesus is there for us. And so, peace is found when we start obeying God. The more I obey him, the more I give myself to him, I have peace. Even Satan might be just coming, you know, against me. When you look at the life of Job, it's a great example. Can you realize the work of the devil? It was so powerful. Everything was taken away. But Job was still at peace because he knew very well he loved God and he obeyed God. Things were bad around him, but he was at peace because God's presence was in his life. And lastly, you know, when you look at the word very carefully, it says, you know, to obey God with love and courage, to obey him with love, as I told you. And the word courage, why did I pick up the word courage? Because Jesus says, come now, let us leave. In other words, he's saying, come now, let us retreat. It is not that meaning. He says, come now, let's face the challenge, right? Let's go and do the mission that God has given us. So he's inviting them. Not only you are aware, not only you love, but let's do it courageously. I love God. Because I love God, I want to be courageous. If you really love me, you need to be bold enough to do the things of God. Obey God's word boldly, my friend. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach the disciples. It's not just obeying God, but obeying God with a lot of courage. Let's go and face, because I love God. Right? When we love someone, we are willing to do everything for the person. That's love. And that's the kind of love Jesus is saying. You know, love me, and you know, the way I love God. And let's go and face. No matter what happens, I'm willing to face because I love Jesus. I love God. You know, the more I see Jesus coming into this world and dying on the cross, many a times we say, you know, Jesus came into this world, why? To die on the cross for us. Yes. On the same note, I also believe he came to die on the cross because he loved God. Right? It's not just for us alone. Because of his love for God, he was willing to give his life on the cross for us. It's all because of love. And so peace is found in obedience. When we start obeying, we start loving God, and we start loving God in such a way, and we say, Lord, I love you, Lord. I'm not going to compromise. I'm just going for you, whatever happens. And we will experience peace. We're going to close, my friend, and I want you to watch a video. I do not know how many of you have actually gone through these kinds of struggles in your life. No, but it might be big. It's a wonderful, and some of you might know this song, It's Well With My Soul, right? It is well with my soul. I don't think we have lost everything in our life. It's about a man who has lost everything in his life. But then he was willing to say, you know, he was willing to say, Lord, I know that you are in control, and I just love you. And I want you to watch, and as you watch, you know, I want you to just reflect. This is something like a worst scenario, and I don't think so any of us have gone through that. But if this man is able to say, if everything is taken away from me and I still love God, and God gave him the peace, let's watch and reflect on it. The writer of this psalm, or this hymn, heard that his daughters died because of the great tragedy. The whole night, you know, writing says that he was walking around the hallway, and then in the early morning he told his friend, "I'm glad to trust the Lord when it costs me something. I'm glad to trust the Lord even when it costs me something." God gave him the peace, my friend. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, because you want to give us the peace which the world cannot give us. Many a times, oh God, we realize we don't experience the peace because we have become the center. It's not about Christ. It's about me. It's about I. It's about my needs. But Lord, when we realize and recognize your will, and when we start living for your will, O God, the peace of Christ is in us, and we experience peace. Lord, we thank you for the word you have not given us, O God, that we can just read. You have given us your word that we can trust, because by trusting your word, we know this God is a faithful God. This God is faithful in his words, and I can trust him. Father, we thank you because peace is found in obedience. Lord, you came into this world not just to die on the cross for our sins. You came because you loved the Father. And because of love for the Father, God, you were willing to give your lives for us. And that's obedience. Lord, we pray that we will obey you because we love you. We want that peace, O God, when we thank you, because we can experience peace by the work of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.